Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. God bless you, radio listeners. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Ola Starling, with the Anointed Word International Ministries. We're blessed to be here this morning. We're blessed to be here, praise God, giving God all the praise and the glory and the honor, and knowing, praise God, that it is Him, praise God, that has given us, praise God, a new day and a new dawning. It is only by His grace and His mercies that we do appear here this morning. And we are grateful, and we thank God for that. We thank God for you and yours, and pray that you are here, praise God, to listen to the word of God, that it may encourage you in Jesus' name. Praise God. Answer some of your questions in Jesus' name. But today, praise God, we're going to go to prayer quickly. Praise God, that we may go into the message this morning. And Father, we are grateful today, praise God, to be here, praise God, because it's only by your grace and your goodness that we appear here this morning. Thank you for early mercies this morning. Thank you for forgiveness of our sins and iniquity. Praise God, we ask, Lord, that you forgive us, Lord, and wash us with your word and cleanse us, praise God, that we're able to come into your presence this morning. We ask you today, praise God, that you would allow us, praise God, and this bind Satan on every hand. Satan, the Lord thy God, rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for Trey's safe travel this morning. Thank you, praise God, for use and activities of our limbs, closed in our right mind, and have a mind to call upon a true and a living God. We are grateful, and we are grateful to you, because we know, God, we can never help us to know that this is the day that the Lord has made. Help us to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen, amen, amen again. And this morning, I want to let you know, praise God, do not forget, praise God, to go to facebook.com/Pastor Ola Starling, and you can hear the message even after, praise God, we're off the air. You can still listen to the message, praise God, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, we're going to talk about something, praise God, that is so, praise God, profound, that it needs to be discussed, talked about, because it is something, praise God, that can hinder all of us. It has no respect of a person. And this morning we're going to talk about, praise God, the message today is if we confess our sins. If we confess our sins. We can find that information in 1 John 1:8-10. But this morning we're going to talk about the word, praise God. We're going to come talking about the word from the book of John. John in this confession. And praise God, we're going to say what is epistle. Epistle is the word. It means, epistle means a letter. It is a letter that is revealing the criteria one must have in order to be in fellowship with God. See, God didn't leave us, praise God, without any instructions on what we think we might do. He left us strictly instruction what we should do, praise God. And that means, praise God, only a saved, born-again Christian can be in fellowship with the Lord. Listen to me carefully. This is not just something, praise God, that is made up or someone is telling you with the gimmick. This is true fact, and this is true direction from the Master himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Only a saved, born-again Christian can be in fellowship with the Lord. As we said before, praise God, in our last message in John 9:31, for we now we know that God does not hear sinners' prayers, but he is that if you be a worshiper of him he heareth. Listen to me good. It is true. If you are a sinner, you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling in you, and him in you, you in him, and you are in a relationship with him. He does not hear your prayers. Sounds kind of pretty bad, huh? Doesn't it? But it is true. It is true. In John 9:31, he don't hear a sinner. When you don't know who God is, that means you are lost. You have no recognition with him. You have no communication with him. You have no spirit with him. He does not hear your prayer. However, this fellowship can be broken. If a believer is then in sin, then he is out of fellowship with the Lord, and as it is stated in verse 1 and 6, okay, of John. And it refers to as walking in darkness. See, darkness and light have no communication together. You cannot mix darkness with light, okay? Darkness, walking in darkness, simply means walking where God is not.
It refers to living without God's direction, communication, his communion, and his blessings. Letting oneself be controlled by one's own selfish desires and lusts and pleasures. That means walking in darkness. You're doing things that your desires to do, not what your spirit is yielding to. Amen. This does not mean that the Christian has lost his salvation, but rather has lost his personal communication, okay, with the Lord Jesus Christ and God and the blessing of that relationship. It means that you are no longer in relationships with him. That's exactly what it means. You're not in relationship with him. He doesn't know you. He's not familiar with you. He don't know, praise God, he can't communicate with you. That's what that means, okay? And it means, praise God, the relationship with God begins when one believes and receives Jesus Christ as his Savior. And in it is eternal relationship. See, you may fall out of relationship with God, but you don't mean you're not saved once that. Like people say, well, once you do this, you done lost your salvation. Salvation, no, you fall out of fellowship with God. Your salvation is unto the end. God is not an end giver, okay? He's not an end giver. We're always in his time. We get out of his presence, praise the Lord, when we do things that is not pleasing in his sight. You cannot dwell in the presence of a holy God doing unholy things. Amen. Okay? But it says, praise God, that to receive Jesus Christ and be in Jesus Christ as a relationship, as a Savior, and his eternal relationship, you must be a believer. And once one becomes a child of God, the relationship with God is established. A believer cannot lose his relationship with God as a child of God, but he can get out of fellowship. Understand me now. Your relationship, your salvation is there, but you fall out of fellowship with God when you do the thing that is not pleasing in his sight, believer. Okay? Not a sinner, but a believer. If a person confessed to know God and is being saved and is saved, there will be evidence of the relationship with God that can be seen in his life. Okay? You don't have to walk around with the big crosses on your chest weighing you down or the big Bibles in your hand. Your life will speak for you. Amen. A believer in fellowship with the Lord walk in light or where God is and live as God directs him, as he is directed by God. It is really somewhat cut and dry. It's really cut and dry. It's nothing, praise God, a scientist got to figure out or you got to go to college to learn it. It's simple. There is a great deal of confusion today as to what's true and what is false. Now, many churches which call themselves Christian churches have doctrine that are blatantly contradicted to the teaching of the Bible. That is why Pastor Ola always said, you get in the Word of God, know what the book declare, know what the book of the Lord say, not what the pastor say or the evangelist say or the prophet or the pope or whoever. You know what the Word of God says. Just know it. If you know it, then you have no trouble following it. But if you try to follow everything somebody say, you're tossed to and fro. But each claim to be following the Bible and proclaim they are right. It is clear that when churches are teaching that are contradicted to one another, both cannot be true. The Bible said, let every man be a lie, but let God be the truth. Many people ask the question, how can you know when you know that somebody is teaching you the right way? Simple answer. The answer to return to the Bible, which is literally God's word to man. It has stood the test of time, even through the centuries. Some have tried to destroy, even burn it in masses. Yet, the God's word, the Bible, remains. Doesn't matter who tried to get rid of a baby, it's here, it's here. And it's been the same in centuries. It hasn't changed. Why don't you stick with something that you know don't change? If something continually changes, you know something is wrong with that. Get something and stand on the word. Stand on it and not on it, but get in it. is contradictory, contrary to the claim of it is to deceive and ununify. There is no questions of the authentics, you know, the authenticity of the Bible. There is no question. There's no question about how real it is, what it means. There, he said, there never has been, with those who studied the matter, that we cannot trust that God has preserved his word until to us this day. My grandmother, 60-some years old, had been passed away almost 60, 70 years, and the word that she has taught me from a child, praise the Lord, is yet still in this book. Now, I haven't known too much anything that would stand that long and never changed, not even to a pair of shoes or a color blouse. It changes the color, but the word stays the same, my friend. It stays the same. It stands its own ground, that we cannot trust that God has preserved his word until our day. It is a lie coming from the devil that is intended to cast a shadow over the credibility of the word of God. And those that question, oh, it's not the Bible say. Why do you think everybody, the Bible said that at the name of Jesus, every demon got to sleep. At the name of Jesus, controversy arises. They would say, oh, the man upstairs or the creator, but they will not say Jesus. Isn't that something? The name of Jesus, it starts just bring up a controversy because there is power in that name. There is power in the word. Just like this picture they just made by Noah, that's garbage. That's pure garbage. I wouldn't even let them give me a copy of that to watch free. It's garbage. Because all it's doing is trying to discredit what the word of God has already said. But they need to be careful. Every time somebody do that kind of mess, they either go down or go crazy. Hurry up out of here. You don't play with the Savior. Don't play with it. Remember your boy Mel Gibson? Think about it. Yes. All this mess they do, stop that. This is God's word. You can't change it. All you can do is bring death and damnation upon yourself. Just you can't do it. It is the word. It will always be the word. When you gone, I'm gone, this generation is gone, the word still will stand. It will never change. You guys are what man may think of. See, the word of God does not change. The word of God, trying to change it to their understanding. No, the word is for you to get it to change to your understanding. You change by it, not it changed by you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And it also says, you know, that we cannot trust, that they don't want us to think that we cannot trust, you know, trust that God has preserved his word unto our days. It's a lie. The devil is a lie every time he speaks. It is intended to cast a shadow over the credibility of the word of God, but it's not happening. Devil, those that question the Bible is real and true are ununiform, literally unsaved and unbelievers who mostly deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because they want to say the creature. They want to say the creator. Or they want to say the deity. Or they want to say the man upstairs, but they won't say Jesus Christ. You see, that's okay, though. It's okay. But, you know, praise God, it's better if you be on his side than being outside of him. And looking in, amen, the deity of Jesus Christ, the miracles, and the inspiration of the scriptures. This is scriptures. This is a manuscript agreed with each other in over 98% of the time, and where it disagrees, which are called, you know, disavowant readings. It only involves a spelling and a punctuation. That is interesting, that no doctrine is affected by any variety of reading, none. You know, but they want to say, oh, this Bible, everybody now want to make a Bible. But I speak to what I know. Praise the Lord. See, folks, and no real honest scholars would say the Bible is and preserved down through these 2,000 years. The bottom line is this. The Bible is clearly God's word, preserved the word. It can be trusted. If you deny the Bible in the various essence of God, and God is saying what he's saying, then where do you go from truth? Where do you get your truth from? Everybody wants to be important. Everybody wants to be important. It's okay. Be important. It's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. Remember the saying? But in this instance, you need to allow the word to be the most important thing in your life. And what teachers do, do you trust to know the mind of God and tell it correctly what God's word is? If you deny the Bible, you are left with only the word of man. And can you trust man who is a sinner just like you, the blind leading the blind, and you both fall in the ditch? And you are committed to, are you committed to him? Your eternal destiny and soul into his hand. Wow, what a tragedy. If you want to know what God says about the matter, then read and study the Bible. This is as simple as that. Read and reread. Read, read, read the word of God. Quit guessing. Quit thinking. Quit, I think, no, go to the book. Get the volume in the book. Get in the volume of the book. Read the Bible. Read it. I don't have to read it for you. You read it. You don't even know. Pick up the book and read it. It is a life policy left for you, and you never know what's in the policy. There's something because he had to die in order to leave it for you to be to use it. Then you don't know what's in your policy. Read it. Know your benefits. The Bible, as we are doing to in this epistle of John, 1 John, because that is why God had him write it. God went through the epistle to show us. How can we assure that we are in the fellowship with the Lord? Now, God says by confessing your sins in verse 10, the Bible in the old, both the old and the new, has a great deal to say about confession of sin. We're talking simply about sin here, things that will make you get in a relationship, okay? It's in Genesis 41 and 9, the butler who was born in prison, you know who I'm talking about, Joseph and Pharaoh with Pharaoh. I remember my fault, you know. In this day, he told Pharaoh about Joseph, interesting, and his interpreting the dreams he had. Genesis 46 and 16, Judah stand before Joseph, his brother, who had helped himself, was sold into slavery, and confessed. He did it. He sold him into slavery, trying to make it be something evil, but God turned around for their good. What say we say unto the Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out. He know your every iniquity. Even Pharaoh, in trying to get the plague lifted, began by saying, I have sinned against the Lord. Saul confessed to Samuel, I have sinned it. David confessed to Nathan, I have sinned it against the Lord. David confessed he had greatly sinned in numbers in Israel, and at least six other times in the Bible. You listen to me. In the Bible, David confessed his sin. That is one reason God said to David, exactly, my Lord, thank you, Jesus. David was a man after his own heart because he touched the Spirit of God. He was in the Spirit. He touched the Spirit of God. When Isaiah saw God, he saw himself as a sinner. He then cried out unto the Lord, whoa, God, whoa, whoa, whoa. It is me. It is me. For I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. When Daniel, a man of prayer who loved God and who lived close to the Lord and whom the Bible says nothing of his negative manner, being of a righteous and godly man, yet he confessed his sins in daily prayer. Judah confessed his sins too late, but he confessed. He said, they'll tell me it could be too late for me to confess my sins? Or you, yes. Don't let it be too late. Too late shall be the cry. Judah confessed his sins too late in Matthew 27 and 4. After betraying the Lord Jesus Christ, he confessed. Peter, on being rebuked by Jesus, cried, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. The Republican in Luke 18 and 13, who Jesus said went away justified, prayed and smote his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Paul addressed young Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15, says, it is untrueworthy statement, he says, desiring full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost. meaning he came in to save me as well. I'm a sinner. As a thin line between sin and being saved, a very thin line. The saved means who believed in God always sinned it against God, and godly means who really loved the Lord, confessed their sins, and repented. That's why the Bible says, confess your sins daily. Don't walk around acting as if you have no sin, my friend. Today is not the pop. It's not too popular to call someone a sinner who's living apart from God. I recently had a man who professed to me, a devout Christian, leave our church because he said he did not like to hear that men are sinners. The devil sure had you wrapped up in a package. He then went out to the liturgy, you know, to another Protestant church, the church who voted to ordain homosexuals as ministers. But yes, there was sure there would not be no sinners there, and it reminded the fact that man is a sinner, and even Christians sin and need to confess their sin. So you run in from one place to the next because you don't want to be called a sinner. Oh, my God. The Bible said, if any man be lost, he's lost because the devil has blinded his eyes and he cannot see. He believes a lie rather than the truth. The Bible is accused of presenting and unique and narrow view of more, you know, morality, which is out of step with the modern times, self-esteem and is the rule of today. No matter what I do, I should feel good about myself. The devil is a liar. The men in the Bible saw the reality of their sinfulness before God and confessed it openly, admitting their fault. Nothing has changed. The need that man has to confess his sins and be restored to fellowship with God. You can walk around all day if you like with your head in the air, praise God, with all of what you may have, looking at you and acting like you this and you that, and think you have arrived. But my friend, I want to tell you this morning, I don't mean to break you up, but I'm going to break you open. You are a sinner. If you do not know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, have a relationship with him, have confessed it with your mouth, believe in your heart that he has been raised from the dead, then you are a sinner. Then you wouldn't care if it's for the mother, the father, the sister, the brother, the pope, the preacher. Doesn't matter. You are a sinner. You were born in sin. The Bible declares his sin. I was born and shaped in iniquity and sin that my mother did conceive me. You was born a sinner. And if you don't know who Jesus Christ is and don't get him into your life, you will die a sinner. Amen to the fool. Amen to the listeners. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, you will die a sinner. God has no respect of a person. Many say, you know, many say quiet. It is the negative results of being taught something wrong and right. They concluded, therefore, that they should not teach things right or wrong. The child who is asked, what is one? And one gives the answer. Three is told that he is given a good answer. And if he wants to be three, then that is okay. What foolish people are that? Right is right. It doesn't change, my friend. There's no degree on sin. There's no degree. See? There's no degree. One group of people with driven strength and philosophy is the movement of advocating sex with their children. Right or wrong? It's only in the minds of the person, and it is only a holdover from the caveman days. You know, in the caveman days, come on, everybody has a sensibility of knowing when I'm wrong and when I'm right. Come on, somebody. You know when you're wrong and when you're right because self will let you know. Self will tell you, don't do it. Self will talk to you. But it is also popular today to refuse to believe in the judgment in hell. Few will accept heaven but refuse to believe that God is just God and that all men will give an account of their deeds before him in Romans 14:11, Philippians 2:10, Hebrews 9:27. Even church members ignore it and are sometimes offended by preaching, they label hell and hellfire and brimstone preachers. Many don't care about me, but it's okay. I don't bring the word to make friends. I bring the word because I have been ordained to do it. I'm not doing it for friendship. I'm doing it because I have a charge to keep. But it is a part of human nature to try and hide our sin. Even the youngest child will lie. Will lie to in order to cover up something wrong they're doing. Yes, adults too lie to others and themselves in order to cover up their sin. And Malachi, praise the Lord, the Bible tells us, it gives us a real good example of men trying to hide a lie about their sin. Now, Malachi is mostly used, praise God, in the many churches. They're used to beat you down when you don't pay your tithes. You know, God, God, how can a man rob God? All of this is useless, but it's more than that. In Malachi, the Bible records that Israelites was not admitting their sins, and God said he would judge them for it. Okay? In Malachi 1:6, when told that God regarded them as despairing, that, you know, just not liking his name, the response, what have we done? In Malachi 2:11-12, God said they had begun to worship idols and allowed their daughters and sons to marry the heathen. Yet in verse 14 again, they replied, yet, he said, wherefore, meaning they said, what, when did we do that? Look at this. And yet, they fully knew that they were doing what they were doing. Even in the face of God, they would not admit sin, and they suffered greatly under the burden their sins brought them. See, when we sin, praise God, we bring heaviness upon ourselves. Yet they fully knew that they what they were doing. Even in the face of God, they did not even want to admit their sin. They did not even want to say, okay, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry. They didn't want to do that because they don't want to be called sinners. Very seldom you hear that word, you mentioned in the church today, because there are no sinners in the house of the Lord. There are no sinners in the service. Come on, everybody's saved. Everybody. Everybody is saved today. That's what they think. Admitted sin, and they suffered greatly under the burden their sins brought them. Malachi 3:8-9, they refused to give God his tithes and tax to support the government and the work of the Lord. When God confronted them and accused of robbing him, he said they denied. They replied, okay, hey, when did we do that? They fully knew they were shorting the tithing and not giving the best of the Lord, but instead were giving sick, deformed, and corrupt offerings. And the same thing in the president, everything today, in every service, is this is in this country. Professing believers come Sunday after Sunday, putting in a mere pence in there for offering. But you're not giving anything to the man. You're supposed to be giving that to God. And it should be given, praise God, to survive, to serve the widows and the orphanages, praise God, and those that do not have. The fact is they're walking in darkness for God. But God is not. They're walking in plain disobedience to God, and they put it over their minds, and they get it, praise God. But Malachi hold the book, praise God, and he let them know that if you are a sinner, you must come to Christ daily and confess. To confess, there is no more pagan, unbelieving religious on the earth today like the Roman Catholicism. To confess means to say the things. To say things that mean to admit sin. God love us and know that we have a sinful nature. He know our failure. He wants to forgive and help us overcome them. Do you realize, my friend, do you realize that sin you commit this day had to be paid for through the old rugged cross, the blood of Jesus, by the Lord Jesus Christ? Your sin today causes him suffering 2,000 years ago in the agony on the cross. Please do not dismiss this sin that you do. You say you could not help. Poor, pitiful sinner you are. Well, you do not get away with that excuse. It's not excusable. He died on the cross that you may live a free life and that you may know, praise God, that he is God of Lord of Lords, and that you may know, praise God, that he is the one, praise God, that can forgive sin. You must confess your sin. You must ask God to forgive you, O Lord, and God, help me to overcome my sin. Don't keep looking and sinking in sin, because the more you sink, listen to me carefully. This is the day for you today. The Bible declared, the day you hear my voice, do not harden your heart, for it is a day of salvation. If you confess your sin, If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all the unrighteousness. He is saying to you today, come as you are, and I'll in no wise cast you out. But you must come to him confessing that you're wrongdoing, and he will wash you white as snow. He will cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. Every sin is forgiven man except blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. You can be forgiven today. You can be saved today. You can be a child of God today. And my friend, I ask you today, will you try him today? Ask him in the presence of your own, in your own presence. You don't have to do it in front of everybody. You can ask him right now, God, forgive me. I plead to you, God. Please forgive me, oh God, and help me to overcome my sin. I want to be cleansed with your word and washed with the hyssop of your word. Wash me today that I may be yours and you be mine, that we may be in relationship together, that we may, praise God, be as one. Father, forgive me. Allow me a chance for eternal life today. I seek after you. And you must know, in fellowship, walking in the light, confessing your sins, seeking God helps to free of sin and its destructive influences from this destructive influence. Free to be in a close relationship with the Lord and having the peace and the satisfaction of knowing God is pleased with you. My friend, you do not want him as your enemy. I pray today, praise God, that you hear the word, something was said, praise God, to make you want to change your mind, to move you to a closer relationship with the Lord. Why wait? Get your heart right with God this morning and step into the blessings of a wonderful life that God gives and a life of free from sin. Until this time, praise God, next time I pray, praise God, that you listen, praise God, and be blessed, be blessed. Until the next time. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Ola Starling, the Anointed Word International Ministries. And do not forget, confess your sins today. Today is your day for a new life. You be blessed.